11 o'clock on a Friday night.
We're going to use the same intro that we normally do, even though we didn't have the other one.
It's June 2nd, 2017. It's Bob.
It's Max.
AJ.
We are actually leaving F&M right now.
I blame Max.
Yeah, it's Max's fault, 100%.
Oh, darn. Actually, in technical game away, it kind of is.
It kind of is.
It's been a while since we've recorded, so we figured we'd at least touch base with our one of fans.
Our few of fans.
One person listening because they're bored.
Yeah, probably.
Or new people that have a show back up after the fact that we haven't casted in like ever.
Life has been chaotic.
Yeah.
But to give a quick update, Max lost his car because he busted it.
I didn't bust it on purpose. Job,
which caused him to be unemployed, which he still is, the dumbass.
I mean, I'm trying to get a job now.
I have been work. And love my wife and kids. They drive me crazy, but it's a good kind of crazy. And AJ's
family.
AJ's been bouncing between jobs.
Yeah.
Well, either way, back to actually magic topics, since we can actually bring up things.
Since we have a 1K legacy event from Nerd Rage last week.
How'd that go, by the way?
Well, it was actually funny. I don't know. Do you want to start, Max, or would you like me to start?
I think you can start, and I'm kind of filling my details.
So, we ended up going down. There was me, Max, Tony, Dean, Duma, Scott, my buddy Jeremy, Casey.
We had a lot.
Yeah, there was about 8 of us in our circle of friends that all went down. And all
right.
Everybody was on something different. I was on Esper Deathblade. Yeah. Max is standard red white painter. Tony was on Dredge. Casey was on Sneak and Show. Scott was on Shardless Bug with 3 Leovolds. Duma was on Lands. Dean was on Goblins. And my buddy Jeremy was on just the Leovold midrange. So a variety of decks now that Miracles has been banned out of the format, which I absolutely, as much as I miss Miracles and spinning tops and beating up people who spin tops badly, I'm glad Miracles is gone because it completely opens the format up.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of new decks that have shown up.
So many viable decks now.
Yeah, and with GP Vegas coming up soon, we'll learn a lot more of what the meta is going
to
be.
Next Friday, we might actually have some stuff to talk about on the way down from the GP because it's happening Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
So, should I hold off on looking at building a burn list until after that comes out?
Burn is pretty much not going to change.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's not, I mean, it's pretty much a set, like, 71 cards, and you have, like, 4 sideboard slots that can flex between what the meta calls.
Yeah.
But right. I played Esper Deathblade, and in round 1, I played once again against the Bug Leovold, and went to 3 games. The unfortunate part is, the 3rd game, I could not find a threat. Mm-hmm. Every time I found a threat, he either was able to remove it or make me sacrifice it. So, it was kicking the balls. I thought I stabilized with Batterskull, and he pushes the token.
Ooh.
So, it happens. Not a big deal. I mean, it was 3 great games, and the guy's like, yeah, I just drew perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sometimes it happens.
Mm-hmm.
No, my game one happened to play a buddy that we know.
Round 1.
Yeah, my round 1 was playing a buddy we know that, playing Shardless. Not a favorite matchup for a painter. It's kind of probably one of its worst.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is where we learn Flusterstorm can counter Blood Moon.
If you're dumb enough to think about the storm triggers, not the actual fact that he doesn't counter it in the first place.
Yes, Max did not read the card. He just worried about Storm.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing is, even if it did resolve, I was still dead to rights, so... So even though, yes, I did misplay and allow a 4-4 Flusterstorm to counter a Blood Moon.
Which really got guys laughing after the round.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely an entertaining day after that. But then I got lucky and was able to get paired against Nick Fit, where my opponent allowed me to kill a Veteran Explorer to go then turn to Grindstone kill you.
In my round 2, I played against... Well, yeah, the round 1 I played against the Noble, and then round 2 I played against another bug Leovold deck. But this one, this one was just a straight up Leovold deck. It did not have the Noble Hierarchs in it. And that one I 2-0'd. My deck just drew perfect against everything. It was amazing.
Yeah. And then the funny thing about my game 2 versus Nickfit was, if people don't know my deck, I play Imperialist Painter.
Yeah, he does not have the funds for Imperial Recruiters.
Or City of Traders if you had those in there too. But, so I play Smuggler's Copters in the deck, as well as Hope of Ghirapur, to try and get the combo to resolve, or cards to resolve easier. It was kind of funny because I only really actually actively grindstone someone out twice.
The whole day.
The whole day. I beat Omnitel and Nickfit and all the other decks without ever activating grindstone. Yes. It was also very unfortunate when I was able to helm my opponent for one and happened to get a Grave Titan.
Feels really good.
Yeah, he tried to surgical in response. I'm like, I don't think you can do that. Would you like me to call a judge?
In round 3, I played against my third Leovold deck that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I beat him once again in 2, which he played out a turn 2 Leovold, and I was like, swords it. And he didn't draw a daze or anything. To which I then turned with a... Stoneforge grabbing Batterskull, and he couldn't beat me.
Well, then when people play Leovold versus me, it didn't really last a turn because I have main deck Red Blast.
Mm-hmm. Leovold, I think, is just amazing, but there's just too much removal for him right now.
Yeah.
I saw so many fatal pushes all around.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strong card. I'd say, I mean, what is it right now? $10 a fatal push?
Like $8, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only going up.
Mm-hmm.
Times where I'm kind of unfortunate to only have 3 of them.
It'll go down once it rotates out.
Yeah.
But then in round 4, I played against Budget Grixis Delver. And he had mismatching fetch lands. Like, he had his blue to deltas, he had an Expedition, a Cons, an Onslaught, and then a Foil Cons. But he only had one Underground Sea and a Watery Grave.
Oh, wow.
He had steam vents and a Volcanic Island. And then he was running some basics, too. I'm like, okay, this is a complete budget build.
Yeah.
Game 1, it was, No, it was not against that. What was that? It was Bug. Red Delver. Or no, Bug, Blue Red Delver, and then the Vamplate. So, against this one, because this was Bug Delver, straight up. I turn one Thought Seized him and took his Delver.
Mm-hmm.
He went land, ponder, shuffle. I don't know exactly what he drew, but I played Wasteland, wasted his land, and then played a Death Rite, to which he Force of Willed, played his own Wasteland, wasted my Underground Sea. And it's like, okay, you're missing land drops that are critical. So I just started fetching my basics.
Mm-hmm.
And I countered every cantrip that he cast.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
Until I got to 4 mana, and then I played a Jace right into him.
Oh, God.
And Jaced him off of land. Like, the first 3 times I Fate Sealed him was Wasteland, Fetchland.
Wow.
And he drew other crap the whole time.
Well, freaking bad beat story on that one is when I first Omnitel. Grindstone once got all 4 Show and Tells from their deck.
Woo! That feels good.
I was like, don't hit him, Urkel, don't hit him, Urkel. Because, of course, she kept going after the 4th Show and Tell hit the grave. I'm like, don't.
But, yeah, I beat him 2-0, but he ended up top 8-ing.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how the hell that happened, but I must have been... He must have lost the first round, then lost against me, and then won out.
Mm.
But no, he couldn't have, because Scott was X1-1.
That's probably the draw piece. That's yeah. why Scott couldn't get in.
I don't know what it was, but the guy top-8ed, huh. and Scott didn't. Scott made 9th.
Uh-huh.
So, 2 wins couldn't have made top 8, so he couldn't have been Brinkman.
Yeah.
It might have been one. It might have been the earlier one, the first round. But, yeah. So, and then in game 2, I just cut all my Force of Wills and Thought Seizes and brought in all of my hate. Like, I brought in Meddling Mage and named Abrupt K when he had 3 in hand.
Mm.
Oh, it felt so good.
Ow.
Felt so good to ride that Meddling Mage like a $2 hooker.
Yeah, that was the other surprising part about Painter was the fact that I was combating people down. The other one was, each game, my sideboards were actually different for a change. Usually when I go to a tournament, my sideboards usually end up being about the same cards.
Yeah, I was going to say, I went my sideboard packed ready for combo and didn't play one combo match.
I was lucky to have this added to the Sphere of Resistance for one of the games. So those were the round, I think.
Then in round 4, I was... round 5.
Mm-hmm.
Played against Blue Red Delver, and I swear to God I had played this guy 2 months ago back in March when we went for that CT.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was on something different, but he was on the Blue Red Delver.
Okay.
He had Aether Revolt top 8 Pro Tour mat. So he claims to have top 8ed a couple of Pro Tours.
Eh.
Well, I got him game 1, just barely stabilizing off of Jit and True Name. Game 2, he plays out Grim Lava Mancer turn 1 off of a fetch.
Mm-hmm.
So I play a Death Rite out knowing he's going to get gripped, which is perfectly fine. I would rather him waste the 2 cards out of his graveyard killing my creature than hitting me.
Yeah.
And he does exactly that. He's like, yeah, end of my turn, I'll blow your Death Rite up. Okay, that's fine. Play a Plains out, play a Stoneforge out, grab Batterskull, or no, grab Jit. He untaps, probes, fetches, kills Stoneforge. Okay, even better. Even better. I untap, play my 3rd land, which is a wasteland, so... Tap Tundra, tap Plains, play Jit out, hoping to God he doesn't have Spell Pierce, Spell Snare, and he lets it resolve. I'm like, alright, just gotta get a dude bigger than X3 out. Well, bigger than a 2-butt. So, a couple of turns go by, I think I'm at 14 at this point. It's like, sure, fire off a Brainstorm, Stoneforge, True Name Nemesis, Hydro Blast.
Huh.
Seems real good. Real good. So, put True Name Nemesis back and a Liliana back that I had been holding onto. I'm like, I'm never going to get double black against him.
Mm-hmm.
Slap down, or go to pass turn, and I'm like, yeah, it's your upkeep, or I'm like, end of my turn. Hydro Blast your Grim Lava Mancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Plays out Swiss Sphere, Swiss Sphere, Swiss Sphere on his next turn.
Ugh.
And then probes.
Ouch.
He's like, yeah, I'll send you to swing for 6, put you at 5.
Ooh.
But he was empty-handed.
Okay, so yeah.
So, play out Stoneforge, equip with Jit, swing, stabilize.
Because
he draws a land. So, he can't get Prowess Triggers. Okay. Play Stoneforge out. Getting Sword of Feast and Famine. Mm. Or not Feast and Famine, Fire and Ice.
Nope, there goes that game.
Pro his deck. Swing. Gain 4 life. Leaving 2 counters still on Jit. And he draws Pithing Needle.
Uh-huh.
He's like, Pithing Needle. I'm like, in response, I'll gain 4 life. He goes, Jit. I'm like, okay. He knows that I have fire and ice in my hand that he didn't name. And he's blue-red.
That's,
did not work out well for him.
No.
Because my next draw is Batterskull. And it's like, draw, pass turn, leaving, like, four mana open. I have a spell pierce in hand. With Batterskull and Fire and Ice. He's like, yeah, swing in. I'm like, in response, I will activate Stoneforge Mystic. And he goes, resolve. I'm like, Batterskull? He's like, smash to smithereens. Spell pierce. Block and eat one of your Swift Spears. My turn, untap, cheat in Sword of Fire and Ice, equip, swing for six, shock one of your guys, and he just packs his shit up and walks out. Didn't even sign the match slip.
Yeah, that's game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was also kind of funny because with Hope being the deck, versus the Omnitail deck, got her, pushed her three turns back because of Hope, and holding it back for three turns just because she couldn't cast a single spell.
Well, I was going to say, didn't you have a judge call?
Yeah. I had a couple.
In that match. And that match only.
Not really, no. That one had, I had the biggest, probably most annoying one.
Well, yeah, that was the judge miss call.
Yeah, so ultimately on our game two, I believe. Yeah, it was game two, but we didn't get to game three. I had set it in my Turnospheres to then show and tell in when they try and go, when she tried to go on missions. So, we're playing our game. I get out the Turnosphere, just play it. Had another one in hand for the next time that she show and tell. Either way, she finally is able to find the show and tell after having Omniscience in her hand for maybe five turns. I was able to counter the first two.
I mean, you're playing Red Blast, so...
Yeah. Well, again, going back into it, when they go Brainstorm and you go Red Blast and their next response is you actually play those in the main, you know they don't know what Painter is.
Yeah. But anyways, the judge call.
But either way, so she goes Show and Tell in Omniscience and then proceeds to cast Enter the Infinite. I'm like, Turnosphere. And then she's like, oh yeah, that's right. Picks back up the card, but there's a judge behind her and happens to stop her and going, no, you can do that. And Enter the Infinite costs more than 3 mana. You can cast that spell without paying any mana cost. And I'm like, no, that's not how that card works. You need to read Turnosphere again. He goes ahead and he reads the Turnosphere on the field and then goes and gets the Oracle text and goes, no, it's allowed to be cast. I'm like, uh-uh.
No.
That's not true. You need to keep going through your rulebook.
You must spend at least 3 mana.
And... ultimately, he happened to be the head judge, so it's kind of like I can't really appeal, even though I asked for an appeal. Didn't really do much, but... because that was the thing, like, appeal, and he's like, well, I'm the head judge, this is how it's going to resolve. I'm like, no, then you're going to keep on going through your rule book until finally you understand how Turnosphere and Omniscience actually works.
Then you go, okay, I want your name so I can contact Wizards about this?
That's what I said, Max, too. That judge needs a little bit more work.
Yeah.
Well, that, and then that's when, ultimately...
All right, I'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, take it easy, AJ.
See ya. When he had stepped away to go talk to other judges about the ruling, every single person at my table, including my opponent, said, you're not able to cast spells through Omniscience without paying that 3 mana versus Turnosphere. Reason being, when you are casting through Omniscience, you're electing to pay 0 mana for the spell. Turnosphere then requires you to pay at least 3 mana to play any spell.
And this we actually checked with a judge because it was a discussion on the way down there of if you brainstorm with a Sphere of Resistance and a Turnosphere on the field, what's the total CMC of brainstorm?
We'll give you a bit to think about that.
But my last round, I ended up playing against a Bant Deathblade and I completely punted in game two by miss sideboarding in that... didn't even think about it. I cut my Force of Wills. I cut my Thought Seizes. I did not bring in my Zealous Persecutions.
Well, we didn't even get the icing on the cake about the Transphere versus Initius with the judge call.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Because, obviously, when he finally got back, he goes, well, I don't have time for this. It's going to result... the Transphere will stop the Enter the Infinite. I'll give you guys 4 minutes. Ultimately, she scooped up because she's at 2 life and couldn't really do much after that. And I killed a death on board. But, yeah. And I even, like, I told him, like, well, this is kind of why the triggers resolve this way. And I explained on how omniscience, you're electing phase zero mana. He's like, that's not true. I'm just like, all right, cool. I was actually prepared to execute myself away from the tournament if he wasn't going to have it resolved the other way.
Well, if he wasn't going to resolve it properly, because it's pretty easy when you go and look at the layers.
Well, yeah. Again, ultimately, he could have looked up both the cards and gone to any forum where people have sat there and mm-hmm. made probably a podcast, I mean, just with those two cards.
Well, no, it's the Judge app says everything about each card, really.
Yeah.
So it should have been in there, but he was just trying to hustle it through.
Yeah.
So, but back to me in round 5. Right? Yeah, round 5.
Yeah.
Amelia, Leo, Grixis, Blue Red. Or was it round 6? I don't know. But I ended up playing against Bant Deathblade. He got me game 1. Game 2, as I said, I missed sideboarded and took my lilies out so I couldn't deal with his true names. And it's like, okay, yeah, I'm done for today. I need to go dump. And I ended up getting rid of some of my higher-end stuff that I had sitting in my binder. I mean, I still have my Japanese Ancestral Visions that the guy wouldn't give me what I wanted for him. He offered me 25 apiece, and I'm like, I wanted 35.
Which was funny to that when he explained that he's got someone lined up to buy a playset.
Yeah, he's like, people are lined up to buy these, and I'm like, the only reason I'm offering you the Japanese is because he turned down my Japanese tops.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, the only reason I'm offering is because it's a full playset, so they all look the same to the competitive players.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'll take them. I'm like, but he wouldn't budge on his price, so it's like, whatever, I'll hold on to him.
Then, of course, after the Omnitel, I was able to verse elves, at which I think it was a turn 2 go off with Lion's Eye Diamond. And that was ultimately the first time I actually legitimately activated Grindstone. And we even sat there, we're shuffling up for our next game, and he's like, I gotta write down never mind, I don't need to write down my life total. No life's changed. And then I misplayed the game 2 where I kind of went ham on it and completely went right straight into an Abrupt Decay.
Whoops.
Darn. My final round happened to be versus the Phyrexian Juggernaut.
Stifle Knot.
Yeah, Stifle Knot. For people that don't know what that deck is, what he was using was 2 cards. Both of them have enter ability triggers. So you use Torpor Orb to counter these enter ability triggers. Torpor Orb is a 2-mana spell. It's an artifact.
2-mana artifact. That creatures entering the battlefield don't cause abilities to trigger.
Yeah. So, ultimately, the 2 cards he was using were Eater Days, which is a 4-mana, 9/8 trample flying, but when he enters the battlefield, you lose your next 2 turns. Kind of a downside. But, obviously, as I explained prior. And the other one is Phyrexian Dreadnought, which, when he enters the battlefield, it's a 1-mana, 12/12 with trample, but when they enter, you must sacrifice power equal to 12. Again, you can stifle both those abilities on both those creatures, as well as
Torpor.
I was hoping during that game to get he goes, Phyrexian Dreadnought, and I happen to have a welder and be able to sacrifice the Torpor.
I'll swap that. Oh,
yeah. Get rid of the Torpor Orb of all the 2 creatures on the stack.
I mean, did you bring in your Seal of Cleansings in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just didn't see them?
Yeah. No, I think I saw it a turn too late. I was always step number 2 was he proceeded to, on games 2 and 3, turn 0 Leyland Sanctity. And I had Painter Grindstone in hand both those games. So I was like, it's kind of unfortunate.
Yep.
As well as I sighted into a Helm Rip combo and was able to, heading out, had Leyline of Sanctity, would have been able to grab a Phyrexian Juggernaut.
Well, Dreadnought? You still would have had to pay it.
Enter abilities don't trigger.
Oh, because of his Torpor Orb.
Yep. He provides Torpor Orb, and as well the creature.
But I ended up dumping close to $300 in crap.
Yeah.
Just random junk. I still have whole bunches of stuff to get rid of at the next GP or SCG. But I turned around and invested that money, and I now have ad nauseum tendrils built.
Oh, and before we get too far away from it, we might as well go back to the sphere resistance plus transphere.
Oh, yeah.
How much does spray stone cost? Cost three. Because of the fact that the sphere resistance, even though it makes a cut spell, costs one more to cast, it then...
It's on a layer before. The last, as the judge explained to me, the last step of casting a spell is checking how much mana was cast. And that is where you compare Trinisphere.
Yep.
Trinisphere's catch of, was three mana spent? Nope, you must spend three, is after the layer of Sphere of Resistance and Thalia. Or no, different layer than Thalia.
I still think Thalia adds attacks before.
We'll have to take a look and validate for sure.
I mean, again, as I usually explain to people when wondering how to resolve a Trinisphere effect, ask, did you pay three mana for the spell?
Mm-hmm.
Not, does this spell cost three mana? No. Did you pay three mana?
Good point.
And that's where it also goes into the fact of when you add Dismember to the factor of it all and choosing the hybrid mana of Dismember and paying for life and adding one colorless, you still have to pay three mana.
How much Ammon Ket have you opened?
Not much.
Okay.
I think I've opened maybe two packs.
Okay. I need three by force.
What was that?
One red and X. Destroy X target artifacts.
Oh.
Yeah. Really good in Storm against Trinisphere effects.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah, I'll pay 4 mana, blow up 3 artifacts.
I actually realized that for Mummikit, I want to get the end turn. I forgot the name of it, the card. The one that just straight up ends the turn. And at your end step, you lose the game.
Huh?
I forgot the name of the card. It's a 3 mana, a 1 red, 2 colorless, instant spell. End the turn, during your next end step, you lose the game. I want one of those for Nekusar plus Hive Mind. Pass the turn on your upkeep, end the turn, proceed to kill everyone.
Unless they can react.
Yeah, unless they can ultimately react to it, but... Yeah, I figured that'd be pretty cool.
I'll have to look that up. That looks funny.
I mean, I can actually look it up. I can't look it up quick.
No. If you want to do something like that, you might as well just get Final Fortune on Isochron Scepter and Sundial of the Infinite. You have infinite turns.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, again, Commander Nekusar kind of turned into a... Yes, it's got wheel cards. Aw, crap, guess what Nick happened to have? Mm-hmm. He happened to have the Miracle one and the Suspend one. And I forgot to grab it off him before I left.
Fate Reforged and Wheel of Fate?
Yeah.
Well, Wheel of Fate was reprinted in the past Commander.
He just happened to have both of them. Like, hey, Nick, can I have these? He's like, yeah, go ahead. But I forgot to add them to my collection before putting all the cards away.
Aww.
I was like, darn.
Yep. Because Wheel of Fate's up to like 14 or 15 bucks non-foil.
Oh, wow.
Because of As Foretold.
Oh, okay.
All of the suspend spells
are
0 CMCs. So you can go turn 3, As Foretold. Oh, look. I'll restore balance. I'll living death. I'll wheel of fate. I'll ancestral visions.
I wonder if there's a deck to build off of that.
People are brewing. I mean, Jeremy from Leaving a Legacy, he kind of brewed up the show and told. It's show and tell, but it has foretold and hypergenesis.
Yeah, that's one way to be able to cast an Emrakul. But so yeah, those are our magic news.
I mean,
obviously we haven't posted in a long time.
No, we've been busy.
Yeah. We've been kind of busy. Number two, we really didn't have much to talk about. Like, we could have sat there and just droned on about Brainstorm, maybe 3 podcasts, but we didn't want to do that.
We're still here.
We're still alive, and whether or not I edit these things. So, if you're a new listener, you can always follow us, try and find us on Twitter. I mean, side off to FM. At off to FM. Try and find us there, and I don't post much. And
I tweet more political crap now. I know I don't like it, but it just to draw attention.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, after the tournament, because getting ready for the tournament, Max actually went through and made, what was it, 42 decks in the gauntlet?
Well, as of right now, there isn't 42. There's half of those. 24?
There's 24 different decks in our gauntlet.
Yeah.
So we have plenty of decks that people at our local shop have been using to see what they like or how they like it. But for some reason, people have been asking me to play Storm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty good with it, it seems. Not to be... I'm not trying to sound cocky.
I mean, you're not horrible with it. That's definitely true.
But the first few times picking it up, the games never went past turn three.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was. It just seemed natural to me.
It was kind of one of the downsides when I was playing Storm for just kind of testing it out. Is I would just start taking hands and see where I went with them. So I'm still at that part. I don't really know what the main keepable hands are yet.
See, I'm not there either. But for some reason, it's like I just top deck like a machine.
I still think I gotta, like, play, like, one tournament with either Reanimator or Show and Tell or these, like, really fast kind of combo decks.
Dedicated combo.
Yeah. That, because, like, for some reason, whenever I play them, I can keep almost mostly any hand and still somewhat get out on top. Like, frick, well, the week before I was playing Show and Tell versus your Deathblade. And just, out of nowhere, just, like, Show and Tell win the game. And we were sitting there going, like, Max, you should play Show and Tell for...
The only thing we didn't have was the Omniscience for it.
Yeah. Because I don't think I'll play anything without at least two.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is getting them.
Yeah. Because as much as they're not the most expensive card in the deck...
I mean, 20, 30 bucks is still just a pain in the ass to find.
Yeah. But, either way...
But, like, I almost take it as a sign... that, like, this past week, we had the Brainstorm show come out all about Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what was it, Legacy's Allure? I haven't listened to that, but you said there was some jabs at Wizards about that.
Oh, yeah, they went over how toppers are moved.
Yeah, the new miracles.
I do say watch those people that actually want to check out this cast. It's Legacy's Allure. He does one on his website. You can search for it, or you can go straight to YouTube.
Yeah, he does do an audio RSS that you can listen to on podcatchers, or he also has a YouTube where he does audio and visual.
And this is one where I say, watch the visual one, because he'll put up cards so that we can read them. So if you're new to Magic and you want to read the card before...
If you play a lot of Magic, but you didn't play back in the day, a lot of the cards are kind of coming back, because people don't want to let Miracles go.
But they went over on how the new miracles is now this Temple Miracles, as well as when they explain what happened with Top. While they're also explaining other cards and all that stuff, and that should be banned, or what they're talking about, they're also putting up cards on the visual that, like, if you were seeing the visuals, it's like a joke to what they're talking about.
Okay.
So I would say recommend watching the visual on this one, but obviously if you don't need it, you just listen to it. And then as well, the guy goes... back and he's done what, 13 legacy decks pros. He's just gone over the decks and it's like a deck tech and going over what good hands to keep and all just mainly good stuff. So
Legacy's Allure is a great podcast if you want to get a general overview of each deck. Bring the Brainstorm show, they're starting to go more in depth into other decks than Miracles, because they kind of came up with like their Mentor Miracles build that would cut Jace and all that. But now with Sensei's Top God, that format is wide open. Yeah. Oh my god, it's just amazing. I love the variety. Yes, Leovold's probably a 40 to 50% of in decks, but there's so many options you can play him in.
Then even before Top was banned, we were starting to see a lot of new decks kind of enter the format, too.
And just with Top being banned, it just let the decks actually do what they want. I mean, we forgot to actually mention last Saturday, one of our friends, Carl.
Yeah, we were going to get into that part with the cube.
We were hoping that Carl would have been with us tonight to record, but unfortunately, he has to work early tomorrow, so he drove himself. But Carl built Mono White Death in Texas.
I think we've mentioned it on one of our very previous casts. Mm-hmm.
But he actually played to a 3-2 finish.
For his first ever tournament.
For his first competitive legacy. He did... it was awesome to see that he learned from all the games of grinding we did.
Yeah, again, we built the gauntlet for a reason, and we played the gauntlet for a reason.
I mean, it just goes to show that if you actually sit down with a dedicated group, you can learn this format.
Well, now we got another guy, Caleb, that's getting into trying to play Legacy too.
Well, yeah, he's actually has Tess proxied up right now, which is super explosive storm, but less resilient.
And then now has just printed off a 12 meta deck list.
24 deck.
It was a 24?
Yes!
You can only get 12 per meta deck.
But he only has the names and the CMCs.
Yeah, you can only get 12 per card.
I don't know where he got, but there was more than 12 there.
Yeah.
But anyways, he's making his own gauntlet so he can have a whole bunch of decks in one sleeved up deck. So I'm glad that people are getting interested in Legacy.
Yeah, after we stopped having FNMs that extreme because of when Duma left. Most people kind of fell out of Legacy at Extreme, but then we've been slowly bringing people back into the format.
Well, we've just kept going and saying, you know what? We're going to get decks for people to play. And now we have this gauntlet. People are printing out their own proxy decks saying, hey, let's try these matchups.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? I'm going to play this random deck against you. Let's see how bad I crush you.
And then now there's like also, too, less people that say Legacy is a fast format.
No, absolutely decreased in speed.
There are fast decks, yes. And there could be some very fast games, yes. But in an ultimate hole, there are decks that go to time, no matter how much hard you try.
Is your mom still at Noodles?
Yeah, she still works at Noodles, but she's not working tonight.
Oh, okay. I see the lights on, I wasn't sure if she was working or not.
No. But, yeah, so when you get playing a lot more games and actually playing a deck for a while, you start to learn some ins and outs of what cards you need to keep, what cards you don't know aren't.
As we told Carl, it's not knowing only your deck, it's knowing your opponent's deck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely how it worked out.
Then also, too, we had mentioned like on how to actually relax in a game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, round one, Carl played against Elves, which... just got crushed by it.
He literally walked out with a smile on his face. He's like, I played Elves. And everyone's like, yep, we know exactly what happened there.
Yep. He got smashed.
Yeah. I've played against Elves before, but until that tournament, I've never seen Elves go off on turn three.
Yep.
Before turn three. Like, I've always had time to play when I was playing Painter. But, again.
But, no, that's kind of how our 1K went. I mean, our friend Dean, he ended up placing 15th with Goblins. Duma was 19th with Lands. Scott was 9th on Breakers with Shardless. If he had won one more game, he would have top 8'd.
Yeah.
But the first place was Joel Bernard. I can't ever say his last name, but he's a known SCG grinder on Blue-White Stoneblade.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what was it? It's semis, quarters, finals.
Did you happen to catch the full top 8 of that tournament?
Yes.
I know I didn't pay attention to it too much.
The semis was... Well, the first of the top 8 was... Joe on Blue-White Stoneblade versus somebody else on Blue-White-Red Stoneblade.
Mm.
Then, I forgot what the next match was. But Blue-White Stoneblade won. And then it was Grixis Delver versus Blue-White-Red Stoneblade again. Or Blue-White Stoneblade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Blue-White Stoneblade made a showing there.
I mean, Stoneblade has always been a powerful deck with the people who know it.
Yeah.
The problem was the counterbalance for it, because they had to fight over just the counterbalance. They couldn't fight over anything else. As soon as you fought over anything else and an opponent got a counterbalance down, Stoneblade had lost.
Well, that's the thing, is when I've played the Blade decks off our gauntlet, I've always just never felt out of the game after something gets destroyed or resolves.
Yep. No, the deck is just a powerhouse.
Like, a lot of times with a lot of decks, you'll sit there and something will resolve and you're just kind of out of the game. Stoneblade decks, there's usually something you can out with. That's probably the most proactive at trying to get things resolved. As in trying to get land threats and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I still think, like, yeah, I'm putting Storm together, but it's either going to be just Blue-White Stoneblade or Bant Stoneblade is my backup deck.
I mean, as I've played Bant a lot better and played most versions of it, mostly Bant, I still like Bant the best because of the main board exhaustions.
Hmm?
Oh, the exalted creatures with nobles. Yeah, nobles plus also playing the main deck, Quasali Point Range.
Most of them have cut it, though.
I mean, still main deck versus Quasali versus all these Stoneblade decks, not horrible.
I mean, but if you want a meta Stoneblade, you just put Manrique Gusari in your sideboard.
Yeah, it's just true. Well, then, on a 3-3 attacking isn't horrible either.
No. I mean, as I say, it depends on where the meta settles, but as I say, I'll at least still be able to put two Legacy decks together. I mean, if I can pick up a fifth Volcanic Island,
mm-hmm.
then I can always add Sneak and Show, too, having completed. Otherwise, I can just do two Volcanic Sneak and Show.
And another thing I thought about doing for next week is getting a proxy version of the new Miracles, Temple Miracles, or Topless Miracles.
I mean, you can try it. I've goldfished the deck, and I just don't see how it competes.
Well, even when we were at the tournament, we didn't see Topless Miracles doing very well, but people have been seeing Topless Miracles do really well online.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there going, well, I mean, where can I find this list so I at least can see what's going on here now? Because that was the other thing. I looked it up, like, 2 days ago. What does Topless look like right now? And couldn't find a single deck. Like, people keep on showing miracles.
I'm yeah, like, it's so
thanks, Google.
It's so open. I mean, I can send you a list. If you go onto Reddit,
mm-hmm.
there is a dedicated Legacy subreddit.
Okay.
I'll send you a link to it, but each day somebody will usually post the links to all the 5-0 decks from mm-hmm. Magic Online.
That was the other thing. I was looking for the links. I'm like, can't find it.
I'll send you a link to the Magic Legacy subreddit tonight.
Oh, and on another side note, with my MTGO stuff, I traded away all my standard crap and was able to build Ashtray for Legacy. God. I mean, Ashtray is not a good deck, but it's still... It's a fairer Legacy deck.
No, it's not. It's stupid. Do you have a counterspell? Yes? Okay, 70% of decks are playing them? Yes? Okay, I lose. Better just to play Belcher.
I mean, it looks a lot like Blackguard Reanimator and plays a lot like it, but just happened to have
Metalworkers. Does it have Chancellor of the Annex backup?
No.
So it's worse.
No. Its backup is the fact that all the creatures are artifacts and Goblin Welder plus Metalworker.
Horrible.
Yeah, not that strong. It's not winning many games at the moment right now. I still have more tweaking to do. But it's still seeing wins, so I'm like, alright, cool, this isn't horrible.
No, it is.
But anyway, still the cast.
Yeah, we are pulling into Max's subdivisions, so you can find us at OffToFNM on Twitter, at NotSoSilentBob1 for myself.
And then at Forever Undead, drop the second E in Forever. And Twitter for me.
you can email us offtofnm@gmail.com. Oh, I had to think there for a second. I almost couldn't remember it.
I do. It's been a while. Just search offtofnm. Then also, too, if you want to find our list of our casts, always can go back in the MTG cast.
Yep. And thank you, MTG cast, for having us, hosting us. Much appreciated.
But, you know, see you.